But if you are there as a Muslim, whatever the any Muslim knows that he can do to you to help you to succeed, he can do it to you. That's something else. And if you are wise too, whatever you can do for Islam so as to lessen the burdens of the kind of people you relate with, do it. Because the matter on the day of Qiyamah is the issue of wazn between goodness and unrighteousness. So if you have used an unrighteous means to achieve something, and from it you can do some good things that you can hope that something good will come from it, why not do it if so the person is reasonable? So this is the attitude we put to that kind of a thing. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Well, the issue of resignation is easy. You work with somebody, he's not paying you rightly, say, I don't want to do again. You are going, no problem, go. But if you are not working, you must not get the money also. If you are not, you say, oh, I'm not going to work because there is something you are not doing to me, then you should not be paid also, because the pay is for the work. So how do you justify the work that you are working and you are not paying, that the work you are not doing and you are collecting the money? Except if that is part of your agreement from the beginning, that look, some part in the year I will not work and you will pay me. You agree, I agree. Before you signed the contract, before you signed the job, I will not work sometimes during the year. 3 months, you give me holiday or you give me so and so. I will not work but you will pay me. You say, yes, I agree, you sign it. So that will explain when students are on holiday and the teachers receive salary. That is known, jointly agreed to by both parties. But this one, did they jointly agree to it? That sometimes I will not work, but you must pay me. I will not work that because your pay is less. I will not work, but I will still collect the money. Did they agree on that? So that's just it. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. But specifically on whether teacher strike is right or not, bigger scholars should be giving fatwa on things like that. And unfortunately, those people don't care about things like that, whether it is Islamic or not. They are just doing it. Allah understand, it's really, really a period of crisis and fitna. So as less as involved somebody should, can, he should. As less involved as somebody can. Because the more involved you are, the more dangerous, the more, you know, troubles you have to be facing, the more fatwa you'll be needing, the more compromises you have to be making. May Allah assist us. Can they prevent them from doing that? Do you understand what I'm saying? A military is saying a military takes over in a country. Another superior military say, don't worry, we will help you send them away. So he's saying, should the people leave the second military power? Do you understand? Like the superior power, say an American government, for example. Should the people leave them? The question I'm asking is, if they really decide and come and say, yeah, we are going to remove the people, can the people stop them? If they can't stop them, then there's no need facing them. Do we understand? For example, we are just setting an example. Country A has a military group of people that took over government from its civilians. Country B has superior military arsenal. And they come and say, we'll remove that military from country A. Country B wants to come to country A to remove the military that has taken over power in that country. So should the people of country A fight the military of country B? Because the answer is, do they have the capability to face the military of country B? If they have the capability to face them, they can face them. When the leadership in country A has been established by the second military rule. Do you understand? Because the leader is going to announce that they should come on jihad. Is it not so? So we follow him. Because that's from the leadership, the position of the leadership. That's the next point we'll read next week, inshallah. If he orders them go for jihad, then we go. We go for the jihad. Now, but if the country B is really, really superior in their strength, such that we know that, look, this thing is going to be near suicide, the ulama will, they will start advising that new leadership not to oppose the other one. You know why? So that blood will not be wasted. The blood of people will not be wasted in the country. So the Sharia usually weighs between sayyat and hasanat. If there are good things, it will prefer the more good ones than the lesser good ones. If there are evil things, it will prefer the lesser evil ones than the more evil ones. Do we understand? It had happened like that in the history of Islam. The Tatars and Mongols came and ruled the Muslim world. The Muslims were there. It was at the time of people like Ibn Taymiyyah, they were able to fight them and remove them. Even when it was known that they came once, they were coming gradually because they were employed as the police for the Muslims, amongst the Muslims. So they lead, and gradually, they were, you know, security will have more information about leadership. They will know who is who, what is what. And at a point in time, they overturned and became the leaders. They were fought in the end and removed, but not immediately, not until they were able to do so. So if we are able to fight them and remove them, we'll fight them and remove them. If you are not able to fight them and remove them, until Allah give us the power to be able to do so. Do we understand? The basic rule regarding these matters is which one is the worst evil and which one is the lesser of the evils. Allahu alam. I hope the answer is clear. The reason why I don't want to use America as an example is that they have hardly succeeded in any country. They failed in Somalia. They are failing in Iraq. They are failing in Afghanistan. They failed even in little Venezuela they went. They failed. They have been failing anywhere. They say, hey, we are coming to remove them. They failed. If they go to Niger Delta again, they will fail. They will fail. You will see it. Because no man can try an Ijaw man inside the water, I assure you. I lived there for more than 25 years. They can stay under the water for days. They are waiting like this. They, like this. The way you sit on the land, they can sit under the water like that. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. A little child, some people, we used to say like that when we were younger, that if they give birth to a child, before the child drink water, they first go and put the child inside water. See the child, then they know the water. They know the water, my brothers. They will fail there. It is not computer law. When you get there, you will see. I think the best thing is that cases like this should be resolved amongst us, and people like that should not be invited. Where are those people getting the arms and ammunition from? It's from them. And it pays them that they cut off the bigger Nigeria, and they, the smaller people, stay. They are still the oil that those people get, sell, and then buy weapons with it. Who is buying the oil from them? Who is selling the weapons to them? So those are the things. So they are the same people saying that we want to come and educate between two of you. You can see the hypocrisy, and that is the hypocrisy they have carried to all parts of the world. That is why I have not used America as an example. I have used country A and B instead. Allahu Allah. Yeah. Now, the Muslims should prepare, the Muslim state should prepare power and authority against the non-Muslims. The Muslim state, the Saudi Arabian government, for example, or the Jordanian government, for example, because these are governments that are also led by Muslims. Egyptian government, for example, even when there is a lot of oppression in Egypt. Moroccan government, for example, is the leadership of Muslims. And even Nigeria, outside Nigeria, the Muslims count Nigeria as a Muslim country. Do you know? Outside Nigeria, in the Arab world, they count Nigeria as a Muslim country. They don't count Nigeria as among the countries of the Kufar, and that's good for us as Nigeria. So you cannot stand up and oppose that government. So if it is not in the real sense an army of Muslims, then they should prepare. They should get ammunition. They should prepare physically. They should also prepare in their akida. It is not only physical alone. Their belief must be correct belief about Allah and His Messenger, the day of Qiyamah, and all the issues of Akida. They prepare themselves physically to face the non-Muslims. So that is known and it is established in the Sharia. So, but those who are, because there's regular army, those who are not in the regular army should not be behaving like regular army. Yes, you say, Wahedulahum. Did you see Abdullah ibn Masud jumping all around the street saying, Wahedulahum? Some people start doing taekwondo on the street. Wahedulahum. What those people were, because they were the scholars from among the people. They prepared the people in their aqaid, in their belief system, in their ibadah, in their mu'amala. So when there is regular army, there is regular army. If the regular army needs more people, they bring them and they train them to go and fight the war. That's normal. But when there is regular army, some Muslims are gathering saying, we are idle and they are jumping all around the street. You think if America wants to fight you, it is taekwondo you'll be fighting. Eh? Is this taekwondo? So, wallahu alam, perhaps that is the area you intend, that some Muslims begin to shout around the street, they are doing jogging, they are jogging to fight America. It's not jogging you will do if you want to fight them. You start going and think about how to isolate a neutron from cement. That when you explode it, it can give you a neutron bomb or cement bomb. Uh-huh. That is the kind of preparation. Unfortunately, all these kind of people, they don't have that kind of idea. It is jumping around on the street. You hear the companions of prayer jumping around the street because they are preparing for kufa. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was jumping around the street in Medina. Or Abu Bakr Siddiq. The companion who didn't even have a sword, Ukasha ibn Husayn. Ukasha ibn Husayn was on the battlefield. The prophet said, yeah, Ukasha, you are on this battle? He said, yes. The prophet, but I don't have a sword. The prophet caught sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a tree and gave it to him. He said, fight with this. Ukasha ibn Husayn killed over 6 to 7 people. The 8th person killed him. He died as a martyr. He killed with that stick. So if it is today, people, because of the preparation in Akidah, not just physical preparation, he believe, when Baba said fight with this, he believe that he can fight with it. If a person is told fight with stick today, when people are holding sword, he will say, oh, I should fight with you. Give me your sword now. Because the Akidah is not prepared. But because it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said fight with this, we knew he can fight with it. He killed 7 and the 8 killed him. And don't forget, he had been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be from the people of Al-Jannah. Ukasha, the day he was talking about people who will enter Al-Jannah without reckoning. 70,000. If you count me, I'm going to say, yes, you are amongst them. Others come and they say, oh, Sabakokum, Ukasha. Ukasha had spoken before you. And that was how Ukasha ended his life. As a martyr on the battlefield. A battle he went to without a sword on his hand. Because the Prophet called people to come out for jihad. So success in jihad is not a function of jumping around the street. It's a function of what is your akidah and what is your belief. That is the basis for victory. If not, there is no point in time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought people and he had the same strength of army with the people that he fought. Go and look at the history. They are always more than the Muslims. And Allah gave victory to them. So the preparation is not taekwondo and things like that. If somebody wants to do taekwondo just to be strong as a Muslim, there's nothing wrong in that. If you want to do istidad for kufar in weapon, buy gun, buy armory, buy, when you just people who are preparing to be fighting the people they are fighting now, I'm sure it's not taekwondo they are doing. One of them that when I was younger than this, I knew, is their leader, I knew him, Dokubo. He doesn't, if you do stretch your leg, he can't defend himself. But he's the leader. If you see him now, if a British share staff see him, he run away. The way he'll be dressed, full with weapons on all his body. You used to see him on the newspaper court. He didn't know one single taekwondo like this. I know him very well. The last Hajj, he was there. He was in last Hajj. We were there talking. He had been saying that long ago, that Nigeria will see it one day. Wallahi. He's been saying it long ago. So when I say, hey, Nigeria don't see him, I say, yes, they don't see him. Allah save us from this thing. Our efforts should not be wasted on Asabiya, ethnicity. The one who does that on ethnicity does not have any reward from Allah. Allah.
What I say, all this is that if you don't come out, then it's so that you they have propaganda. They do that actually. But things like that, some of you think, some of you ideology is from government or the media. But what I'm trying to do now is they do not come out that you need to know about the other, but they use one way or the other. The cost is now from the way of the head, like you now from the other. What? My son has these people both to, they don't come out and tell us what you do. Only people follow them or what you do.
The issue is simple. It's not obligatory to go for NYSC unless you want to work with Nigerian government. I think the NYSC Act, that is what it reads, Ali. That anyone who has to work with the government must have served as a COPPA, as a youth corps member. So you choose. You will not go and you will not serve. You will not have anything to do as a worker. I mean, working under federal FGN or state or local government in Nigeria. That's alternative one. Alternative two is to go and not to be involved in that evil. To go and not to be, just do what is not evil in what they are doing there and run away from the evil in what they are doing there. And people have done this one. This is what many people have done. That they go when they are doing one social night, they don't go. When they are doing social thing, they don't go. When they are doing social thing, they don't go. And they still perform their salawat at its regular time. Make the hajj, do so many other things. So that is another alternative. But if you now think that I don't want to go, rara, okay, just know that you don't want to also have anything to do with government of Nigeria. If it's a decision that you have taken for the fear of your iman, Allah will help you regarding it. And I think it's the best position to take if the person's faith is as much as being able to take that position. Because there is nothing you do for the sake of faith except that you be tried regarding it too. Yes, if you say my iman don't do social thing, so I'm doing social thing, you be tried regarding that thing. Ahasiban nasu an yutraku an yakulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. If you say my iman has reached social thing, so I will not do social thing, or I will do social thing, that iman will be tried. It's not just claim in the mouth. So you say I have iman, I will not go at all, and I will not have anything to do with federal government of Nigeria. You may live for the first 5 years suffering. Just be patient and know that the help of Allah will come. That is the best thing for the Muslim. But if you are not able to do that because of doubtful iman, go and then avoid the areas of evil. Allahu Akbar. Now, wa alaykum as-salam. In the public. If the Muslim army is prepared to be able to overtake the other people, the established government, and they have the strength to be able to do so, and no problem, that, yes. Yes, that's our belief and reliance upon Qadar. It must be something that is followed with some practicality that is devoid of emotion and that is full of deep thoughts. You don't say that I even a single person, Allah can give him victory over 1 million people. Or is Allah not able to do so? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's surely able to do so. So it's normal. So 10,000 people can say, oh, we should be able to fight 1 million soldiers. No problem. But do they have in the real sense of it? Can they think really that we should be able to face these people? So what the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in terms of preparing the army, in terms of telling the people, everybody bring all what is in your house, so let's buy enough weapon. He didn't say I'm prophet of Allah, I will just go there and tell all the people, all of you die. He can do so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah wants him to follow the asbab, the means. So in as much as yes, he can have iman and say, oh, he can resort power from these people, the means also, we should not forget it. If we have the means from our own judgment to that, yes, this means is capable, at least good enough. This means, is it good enough? You don't say 40, 50 people hold sticks now. The others hold Mark 4. You say it is straight to Asorot. Ah, that is easily suicide. You can say, in your mind, you can feel that this is suicide. So someone stops this and they say, no, we have iman. We have iman to do so. You know, it is dangerous idea. You understand? So that's why Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Abdullah bin Baz, alayhi rahmatullah, he said the matter has to combine 3 to 4 things when you want to overturn a kafir leader or a Muslim leader who became a kafir. You now want to overrule him, because you know the Prophet gave istisna. We'll come to that next week, inshallah. Now, except if the leader is a kafir, with whom we found what he referred to, alayhi salatu wasalam, as kufr in bawah, clear kufr. So in either of these cases, you want to remove the leader. I said 3 things. 1, deep thought. Deep thought. He said 2, don't include your emotions. Atifa must not be there. The third one, he said strong military power. Because if you say you put emotion and no deep thoughts, even when you have strong military power, it will fail. But if you put deep thoughts and emotion, if you put deep thoughts without emotion, then with strong military power, prowess, it's most likely to succeed. Then we'll not be praying to Allah, Allah, we have so, we want to succeed. Allah gives them that. And that's the essence of the verse we were talking about, that Allah said you should prepare for the kuffar. Do you understand? So the preparation is still very important, and the military strength is still very, very important. Allahu Akbar. Alexander, we'll make this the last question, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Somebody who is breastfeeding now. Ask her. Who told her that she should not breastfeed? She should not feed somebody before. Because the person who is breastfeeding, the person who is pregnant, the old, aged man and woman, these 4 sets of people, they are to feed the poor. So they are under al-lazina yutikuna. I say, wa al-lazina yutikuna hu fafidiyatun ta'amu miskin. So ulama say they are yutikuna hu, they can fast. But fasting is taqah, difficult upon them. As is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Sahih Bukhari. So these sorts of people, they are to feed people on the days of fasting. The question is, okay, what if a woman does not know that she is to do that? She didn't know. She thinks that, like the Hanafiya, they say, and Imam Hassan al-Basri say that the sick, the breastfeeding women and the pregnant women, they are under the marid. And he said, wa in kuntum marda aw ala safarin fa iddatun min ayamin ukhra, that the breastfeeding woman and the pregnant woman should fast on another time. Do we understand? First opinion puts them under allazina yutikunahu, yani those that is difficult for them to fast. They can fast, but it is fawqa taqa, it is above their ability, it's difficult for them. So some scholars place them there, and that is the most correct opinion. But someone has said, no, they are sick people. Imam Hassan al-Basri, he says, I do not know any sickness greater than pregnancy. Pregnancy is sickness on its own. So he placed them under people who are sick, who should fast at another day. The same thing applies to those who are breastfeeding. So perhaps the sister had held, the woman had held this kind of opinion. This is the less correct of the 2 opinions. The most correct is the first that we have mentioned. So if the person has this opinion, what will she do? Do you understand? Allahu Alam, what she can do is to feed people. She can feed two people in one Ramadan. That one of them will be for her last Ramadan and the other will be for the present Ramadan. If she's also breastfeeding again or she's now pregnant this Ramadan. Last Ramadan she was breastfeeding. This Ramadan she's pregnant. But she did not know since last Ramadan until this Ramadan that what she actually needed to do was to feed the people. So she can feed the people. She can feed the people in this Ramadan. For the last Ramadan for which she did not feed the people. Since she's still in the condition she was last year. So for one Ramadan, this new Ramadan, she should feed the people. The last Ramadan, she can also feed the people for it. After that last Ramadan, that she's in this Ramadan now. Allahu Alam. We had said we were going to make that the last question. If we start opening Ramadan chapter now, go on talking about Ramadan. But let's not forget the issue of As-Sam'u wa Ta'a, that we must obey the leaders of the Muslims. Even when they had come there from oppression, must not disobey them. Yara dua say do something, do it. If you don't do it, it could be dangerous not to do it. So أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
المسلمون. It is jama'atun min al-muslimin. It is a group amongst Muslims. It is not the Muslims. So, and it is the person that the Muslims agree upon as the leader that is their leader. So how many Muslims have agreed that it is the Amir of MSS that should be the Amir of the Muslims? How many people have agreed that it is the Amir of Mecca, for example, that should be the Amir of the Muslims? Or Amir of a masjid? Or Imam of a masjid? That should be the Amir of the Muslims. In fact, the use of this word Amir, Amir, Amir itself makes us understand that people do not understand what the word means. The word Amir. Sheikh Ahmad ibn Yahya al-Najmi, about 2 weeks ago he died, alayhi rahmatullah. He had a piece on this mashru'iyah of referring to people, every person as Amir. The legality of referring to people as Amir, 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 Amir. And in it he said, only 3 people should be referred to as Amir in the Sharia. Why? Because the word Amir is like to say there is a man who is a wali of a woman. You know, once you say that a man is the wali of a woman, it's a word you have just used lexically. But in the Sharia, that word carries around responsibility. So each time you mention that word, wali, with regards to a woman, it means so many things. One, if you want to marry her, you go to him. Two, if the woman is divorced, she goes back to that wali. Three, if the person is to travel, if the woman is to travel and the man, her husband is not there, that wali can travel with her. So what we are saying that the word, once you say wali, it carries responsibility. So it should not be, someone should not come and say, a brother is another sister's wali, when it's not actually the wali that the Sharia understands. So when you ask, can you brother marry this girl? I say, no, he can't marry her. Ah. So what kind of wali are you talking about? Do we understand? So when the same thing applies, that when you say Amir in the Sharia, it has certain responsibilities. So when you ask, okay, somebody is Amir, you now say, okay, call us for jihad. You say, Amir, I can't call you for jihad. Someone refuses to marry his daughter out in marriage. He says, alayhi salatu wa salam, that فَإِنْ تَشَاجَرُوا فَالسُلْطَانُ وَلِيُّ مَنْ لَا وَلِيَّ لَهَا. When the awliya of a lady are in disagreement, the sultan, the amir of the Muslims, is the wali for the girl. The ulama says he will invite the father of the girl and command him to marry the girl out to the person she likes. If he refuses, either way, the wali of the girl refuses, the amir will marry the girl out. The amir of the Muslims, who has the sultan. So if these people refer to as umara today, who are not actually umara, because the responsibilities and the attributes of who actually should be an amir amongst the Muslims, they do not really have them, then you see that we have problems. If it does so, the next thing you see is FIID. CID begins to look for him about, begins to run from one masjid to the other. So where is the sultan? Where is the authority in their hands? So if an emir of an MSS, for example, marry a girl out because her father said, no, I will not marry my daughter to a person that grows there. So he's invited, please come. He said, no, I will not come. Emir of MSS of the school, marry the girl out. What do you think will happen to that emir? If the parents are really people who are out for it, he's going to stay in SIB for many days if he's not careful, for months. He will be kneeling down and they will be begging, please, we will not do it again. So that really means he's not an emir. If it's an emir, he will have a sultan that once he says something, it is obeyed. If it is not obeyed, he does it in authority. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, you taqwa bihi. With the emir, people begin to have taqwa. You know that there is emir, if you do, someone commits zina now, where is the emir that will punish the person for zina? So, but when you know that there is emir that will punish people for zina, people will begin to have taqwa. They will leave things because there is emir that will exercise that hajj upon the person who commits zina, for example. People, when they go to Saudi Arabia, for example, they don't like to go with drugs. Because they know that if you go with drugs and they catch you there, they will cut off your head. Because there's an emir that will supervise that, cut off his head. Nothing will happen. And they have written it on the visa, as you are taking the visa, that if you bring drugs and you are caught, your head will be cut off. So it's not that I didn't know before. So if somebody does not have authority to do that and he's called emir, so what is the emir? So that's why the Imam Ali Rahmatullah Ahmad ibn Yahya al-Najmi said it is not correct for people to be answering that name except in three cases in the Sharia. The fourth case is the Amir of the Muslims. For example, there's a country. The country is led by one single Muslim. That person can be called Amir of Muslims. Or the Amir of all the Muslims of the world is still the same thing. That is one, the one who has political power, administrative power and authority, who can exercise, establish punishment, supervise punishment and do all these things we tried to mention. So that one is Amir, the man and kalima. And it's legal that he is called an Amir. He is the kind of people the Prophet was saying, alayhi salatu wa salam, that man ata'a Amir, Prophet ata'ani, the one who obeys my Amir. So here the Prophet said Amir. So this kind of a person should not be disobeyed. And he is rightfully called Amir if he is called an Amir. The other set of person who can be called an Amir is the deputy of this one. This one appoints somebody, go to social place, go and be leading them there. He can be referred to as Amir. Maybe in terms of being a governor, or in terms of being a minister or something. He's an appointee, a deputy, somebody acting in place for the original Amir. The third person who can be rightly referred to as Amir is Amir Safa. Muslims are traveling and they say one of them should be the Amir. He can be referred to. The Amir of a Gazwa, commander of a war, is under the first one, the second one, that is the deputy. Someone is deputized and look, this is an army, lead them to the war. So the Amir of a Jaish too can be referred to as an Amir. So three sets of people, the overall leader of the Muslims. The one who is deputized, giving the authority, go and exercise the authority. And the one who is leading the Muslims in a journey. These are the Amir. And even for each of them, even when the word Amir can be used for them, because they have been used for them in Hadith, they also individually have their limits. We remember the Hadith of the leader of an army that led some Muslims, some of the companions of the Prophet in the battle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they were coming back from the battle, on their way to the battle, he set up fire and told them to be entering the fire one by one. The companions said, we will not enter. We accepted Islam because we are afraid of fire. Are you saying that we should enter this fire that you have set up? So they refused. They did not obey him until they got to the Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. So the Prophet asked them what happened and they narrated to him. He said, if they had entered it, they would have entered it. Do you understand? If they had entered it, meaning if they had entered that fire, they would have entered it, they would have also gone into it. So they refused. Then he said that in Namat Ta'atu fil Ma'ruf. Ta'ah, obeying people, absolutely, is with regards to things that are right. So that's also making us understand that even the leader of the Jaish, he has limitations. The leader of the travel, he also has limitations. But unfortunately, the word Amir is used. So if you say, why is that Tunfirtun Fanfiru? When you are called out for jihad, go out for jihad, and the person who will call you out for jihad is Amir. Someone comes out on the sea, say it's Amir, and people are referring to him as Amir. He say, hey, people come out for jihad. Because the wrong thing first is that he's referred to as Amir when he's not Amir. And that same person, if the government who are really in authority, who really have the power and authority, they throw out Nupo now, you see he start running from house to house, Amir, so-called. Do you understand? So it is wrong for people who are not Umara to refer to themselves as Amir, because that word is a word that we understand in our Sharia to encompass so many meanings. If you don't have that thing, don't say you are. Just like you will not go and say that you are the wali of a girl when you are not her wali. Because to say you are the wali has so many meanings and implications. So the person who will invite the Muslims to a war is the Amir of the Muslims. The first one who has power, who has authority, who has weapons, he can say army, navy, come out, air force if he has, and start ordering, giving commands from one level of governance to the other. These are those who are our umara, and that we have them is a condition for jihad. That we have them, that there is an Amir, is a condition for jihad. If there is no Amir, there can be no jihad, because there will be no body of Muslims. Every person becomes the Amir of himself. And that's why Imam Ibn Qudama, and all these ahadith we have read are also evidences for that. Is that why you have stone faith when you are called? Who we call you? Amir. He said, Al-Amiru, Innama al-Imamu junnatun. The Imam is a fence for the Muslims. Yuqatiluna min wara'ihi. From behind him, war is fought. So it means don't fight and a war when you don't have an Amir in your front. And that's why there's no war the Muslims fought in history of Islam without an Amir. So why is it that today Muslims like to go and fight jihad? No Amir. No Amir. Every person is Amir of himself. So those are some of the reasons that the scholars have explained that bring failure to some of those jihad. Because in the first place, there is no Amir. There is no Amir of the Muslims who is Amir that can take the responsibility of calling the people out for jihad. Who they will obey. Who if he says go there, they will go. Who if he says sit down there, they will sit down. Who if he says stand up there, they will stand up. Because they had already understood that he is not to be disobeyed. So, but when this does not exist, every person is the Amir of himself. So if you say there is crisis in a place now, in a city, and Muslims are killing non-Muslims, you just see that every person will do what he likes. Some people will kill people, mutilate them, remove their eyes, cut their nose, cut their ear. They say it's kafir, so they want to finish kafir. But it's not permissible in the Sharia. Some people will catch women, cut their ears, remove their hair, remove the child in their womb. Is it permissible in the Sharia? So people will catch old men and women, kill them, cut off their head, cut off their neck, cut off their private parts, and say it's jihad. Is it permissible in the Sharia? All these things are being done because there is no amir regarding that jihad. This makes us understand the importance that there must be, and there should be amir amongst the Muslims. When there is no amir, the Sharia tells us what. So the first condition of going for jihad is that there must be an amir of the Muslims. The second condition for going for jihad is that quwwatul iman wal islam inda muslimin. The Muslims must have quwwatul iman. They must have real belief in Allah. And their Islam must be right Islam. Because it is a basis that they are helped. One basis that will bring about their assistance on that war front is the fact that they are Muslims as rightly as they should be Muslims. So when you see, for example, in Palestine, a girl wear jeans and wear t-shirt is stoning Yahudi. You say, wa antum ala sinza wa la tahzanu wa la tahinu wa la tahzanu wa antum a'launa in kuntum mu'minin. Don't be afraid, don't be scared, don't lose hope. You are going to succeed and override them, be victorious over them if you are believers. So we should be believers. We should have overriding. We should have victory over kufar. Are you actually believers? Because he had made a condition. He said, in kuntum mu'minin. Sure, there is a condition. If you are rightly believers. What if you are not rightly believers? There will be no success. Because the difference between you and them is iman. So if the iman is not there, so what's the difference? It is reported that one of the partial leaders came to meet Umar ibn al-Khattab and was saying to him that, oh Omar, before Islam, there is no battle we fight with Arabs except that we defeat them. Why is it that we are defeating them now? Umar reportedly asked him, why is it that we are defeating you now? He said, yes, before, when we fight you, we are fighting Arabs, and you are like us. So the battle is the one with the highest weapon, the best weapon, wins the war. But now, we are not only fighting you, we are fighting your Lord. So how do you fight and win you? When you are not fighting only you, it is you and Allah that we are fighting. So when there is no Quwwatul Imaniyah for the Muslims and their Islam is weak, then they have problems with their enemies. So one condition of jihad and its success is that the Muslims must be in the right state of Iman. They must be in the right state of Islam. So the lesser their Iman and their Islam, the lesser the possibility that they are going to have victory. If you now want to know the condition of the Muslims in the world today, go to Hajj and see them. You see people holding on to the Kaaba and kissing it like this. You see some people losing the rope from the ketwa, the cloth of the Kaaba. They are losing it. They put it in their bag. You see some Muslims using their turban, they remove it and start rubbing it on the walls of the Kaaba. What will that one do to you? I overheard someone going by the graveside of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sunnah is there, just say Salam and Salat and Salat to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and do the same to Abba Christi and go. So he was saying, Ya Rasulallah. The police was saying, Ya Istidullah, Udullah. Don't say that. Pray to Allah. He's shirk, shirk. You know? Shirk in the Tawheed in Dada. The person said, it is you that you refer to it as shirk. To me, it is Tawheed. So he now says that to share to Babil, well, this kind of people should come to the war for jihad. Somebody who is telling Muhammad that, oh, Prophet of Allah, please give me my child, give me money, give me, he's praying to Prophet to give him money. He's praying to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give him what? In the gravesite. And he's been told it is shirk. He says, no, it is you, to you that it is shirk. To us it is tawhid. So now this person goes for jihad. What is the success that will come? And the Prophet had said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You are going to be victorious if you are believers. This is the person calling shirk tawhid. So is that the one who will be victorious? You say, Muslims have been fighting these people. Are we not going to win them? Check yourself. What is your Iman? What is your Islam? What is your Aqidah? What do you believe? Who is the messenger to you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned Ukash ibn Muslim. Who was in a war? He was given a wood by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said, fight with this. And he was fighting with it. Today, if you are fighting war, you see wood on the war front. You give to somebody, take, fight with this one. Today, you hold dagger. The same day, you carry wood and fight. He will run away. Because there is no Iman. Look at many people fighting war. You see on their hands, liars. You see liars on their hands. You see on their waist. Some people say, no, they have an egg, if they throw it to the house will burn fire. And it is jihad. La. It cannot be jihad. It is rather something else. If the kuffar grab them there, they will give it to them. Because there's no difference between the person saying he's a Muslim and the kafir saying them. And that's why the ulama say, the basic responsibility of the ummah now is what they refer to as tasfiya or tarbiya. Purifying the deadly aqaid in the mind of the people. Purify their dirty ibadah. Now we are in Rajab, we are in Shaban. Some Muslims have been fasting since Rajab. Who sent them that fast? It's an act of innovation. So when someone does that thinking that he's pleasing Allah, Allah is displeased with it. This is the person who will say he wants to come out for jihad. Do we understand? Someone just is engrossed in act of innovation. And now he says, oh, they are kufar. He wants to fight them. I'm moving. Why don't you allow them to come? No, it is not for you. So the basic responsibility is purifying the aqidah, belief of the Muslims. Let them rightly believe in Allah, rightly. Never he says, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu, taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. He didn't just say taqullah. He said haqqa tuqatih. Fear Allah as rightly as it ought to be feared. So someone goes to the sun and says, he's standing in the sun. What are you doing? I'm doing ibadah. I want Allah to like me. It is taqwa but not haqqa tuqatih. Is not the right manner of fearing Allah. Because Allah has not told you to go into the sun, to stand in the sun, so that you can fear Him. So these kind of things exist a lot amongst Muslims. You see, their ibadah, it is innovation. Many people are innovatory in the act of worship. You ask them, what is the delil for that action? No delil. Who this one you are doing? Which companion you to do it? No companion. So tomorrow, say, kufar, akini Muslims on the road, will come for jihad. Allah will not help you. Because there's a condition for Allah's help. He says, in tansurullah, if you help Allah, he will help you. So helping him is to practice his deen as he has given it to you. If you don't do it like that, come at 1 billion of you, the kuffar are going to take your payment. Because the difference between you, what qualifies you for the assistance of Allah is iman. Iman. And that was why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 13 years they were in Makkah. All he was saying, la ilaha illallah. Kul la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah tuflihu. 13 years. He was just purifying the people and changing how they think, changing their disposition to deen, changing their thinking about Allah, and all this, getting them to be people who submit to Allah. So that is the basic responsibility that exists today. If there is no Amir, okay, at least we'll be doing that one. Purifying the mentality of the Muslims. Because that also will bring the Muslims to think that there is need for Amir. But when their mentality is not purified, they think that, oh, if there's jihad, I can go and fight jihad on my own. I can kill as many kuffar. Someone was saying that he was in Saudi Arabia, he was watching the CNN, there was a crisis, I think it was in Kaduna. Someone was asking, Allah, what for? And he's carrying a refrigerator that he has stolen on his head. He was saying, Allah, what for? And they were showing him on the TV. They were watching him in Saudi Arabia. Fortunately, the person knows Kaduna. He was saying that, look at this one. He's carrying TV refrigerator on his head, and he's shouting, Allahu Akbar Jihad. Allahu Akbar Jihad. These are part of it. In the jihad, during the jihad, is it permissible to be shouting like that? So they are going to say that is Ghanima. So those are, that is about the next point also that we are going to read. That Al-Faith, the what points are the process of the war are only to be shared by the Amir of the Muslims. Someone did that, he stole a kala, a rope, during the time of the Prophet. The Prophet said it's in fire. He fought jihad, normal jihad, behind the messenger, the best of men. But he stole a rope. He took a rope before the ganima was distributed. So each person does not take his share of ganima. Ganima is distributed by the Amir, who invited you for jihad. So when you grab those things, you bring it to Amir. You grab those things, you bring it to Amir. You break out and say, okay, you take this one. You so take that one. That one, take that one. But people say, oh no, it's ganima. So on his head, there's a large and shouting, Allah, what about jihad? So when the right mentality to these things is not gotten, something that people think they are doing fi sabilillah becomes a reason why they are punished by Allah. So they are thinking that they are doing something good. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعُ They are thinking that, there is nothing, the jihad, the best of deed you can do is Allah likes jihad. But it's not jihad. Even by the text of Quran and Hadith. So the first condition for jihad is there must be Amirul Mu'minin. The second condition for jihad is there must be quwwatul Islam or quwwatul Iman wal Islam in the Mu'minin. There must be strong Islam, strong deen. And that is known by obedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and going away from what they say we should go away from. Look at the Ghazwa of Uhud. Just one instruction, stay here, they did not stay there. And look at the impact on the Ummah. For Ghazwatul Uhud, many Muslims died. But still, in the overall, because they were with the best of men, the scholars report that in all the battles fought by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, both on the side of the Muslims and the non-Muslims, those who died are not up to 1,500 in the battles fought by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The people who have died, they are not up to 1,500. Ibn Kathir mentioned it in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. The people who died on the battlefield are not up to 1,500. But thereafter, how many have died in the world? So we need to make sure that this, a lot of effort has to go on teaching Aqidah of Islam, encouraging people. Those false beliefs people have had, remove it from their heads. People go to Hajj, you see many shirkiyat. Hajj is supposed to be one of the epitomes of Tawheed. But people go there and still practice shame. Nothing. So it means that there's a lot to do regarding the ideas of Muslims. Their thoughts about Allah, their thoughts about the Messenger of Allah, their thoughts about Ibadah and how actually they perform the Ibadah. Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman one day was in the masjid. He saw an old man performing the Salah. He asked him, for how many years have you been performing Salah like this? I think he said for about 20 years. He said, if you perform this Salah like this for 50 years, Allah will not accept the Salah. Salah. So how many Muslims now just sit down and watch? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. The hadith of Malik ibn Huwayris, Imam Bukhari reported the hadith. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. What about the one who has been prayed other than the way the Prophet prayed? Has he been praying? So when they say jihad, you will come out to, I want to go for jihad. Where is your salat? Where is your zakat? Look at the Muslims of this world, how of this country, especially how they have been regarding zakat. Very few number of people have been paying zakat. And many people are qualified to pay zakat. But they have not been paying the zakat. You have not been paying zakat. And it is for the same reason that working in a physique for some people. So you must pay this zakat. Hold me, I'm wiring him. So that's what I'm saying. تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصلي عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم لله لا نؤدي الزكاة إلا لمن كان صلاته سكن لنا. The people say yes, Allah said so, but we will not pay zakat to anyone except the one that Allah said he's praying for us, his sakina, his tranquility for us. So they refused to pay zakat to Abakri. Abakri said, he said, wallahi, لا أفرق بين الصلاة والزكاة. لا أقتلن من فرق بين الصلاة والزكاة. I would not make any difference in Salah and Zakat. If you refuse to pay Zakat, I will fight you. He started fighting them. They came back and started paying Zakat. Today, many people don't pay Zakat. And they are comfortable with it. If they say, come out for Jihad now, they say, Jihad, you say, Allah, you are shouting Jihad. So our Islam must be in right place. Our Islam must be in its right place. So that it will not be an empty shout for Jihad, Jihad, Jihad. The third matter regarding which the Muslims have to have before a call for Jihad is Al-Qudrat wa Taqa. Al-Qudrat ability. The Taqa, the power to be able to fight for it, go on for Jihad. The power and the ability to be able to go out for that Jihad. So they say, oh, the U.S. Army has invaded some Muslims somewhere and the Amir says, let's go out for Jihad. But they don't have the means. They can't even go. Don't we know that these are the reasons why the Muslims were not permitted to fight Jihad in Makkah? Ability. They did not have the ability in Makkah. So it is not ready to fight. If they say, oh, they are trying to say, be patient, the Nasr of Allah will still come. If they say, ah, they are trying to say, be patient, the natural of Allah will still come until he said to them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that uzina lil-lazina yuqatalu bi annahum zulim. Permission has been given. It meant that before that time, there was no permission for them to go for jihad. Why was there no permission? They could not even perform salah in the public. They could not even pray in the public. They could not even read the Quran in public. But today we are praying in public. We are reading Quran in public. We are doing so many things in public. So, but still, where is the power? They say, go out for the jihad and where is it? Many of the people go into the house and bring sticks out. Despite the fact that that preparation is a state preparation. It's necessarily a state preparation. And that is why whenever the Prophet is going to battle with his companions, he does not say just individuals should bring their weapons. People who also have wealth will bring their wealth with which weapons to be secured. So it means that procuring armaments for jihad is a state responsibility, not necessarily an individual responsibility. The individual add to it, but it's a basic responsibility of the state. It is the Muslim state that has an amir that will prepare until they get this ready, get that ready. There are naval officers, there are this and that, and prepare the force. And that was why Nabi Isa to make us understand that there must be ability to confront this. Nabi Isa, the Prophet told us about him and the children. after he finished Nasir Dajjal, after he finished Nasir Dajjal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith was very absurd. The Bukhari was in the summer of the hadith. The hadith was muwafiq is sahih. Very lengthy hadith of Nasir Dajjal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will inspire Nabi Isa alayhi wa sallam. He will say to him that I have released some of my stomach, some of my creatures, referring to Yazid and Majid. He said, there is no power, no person can fight them, so don't attempt to fight them. Take my servant to my store. Run away to my store. This was the same that he said that fought my children. Do you understand? But this was the same that he said that Allah said, don't attempt to fight this one too. Run away to my store with the Muslims that are together with you. Allah told him that you will not be able to fight them. This is just from the fact that ability to be able to fight them for people is the condition that you have. Okay, when you are not able to fight them, what do you do? You migrate the rest of them. That's what you do. So this is migrate the rest. They left their, all their houses and families in Mecca. They were telling you, we are not going to agree and draw their swords. But they were not permitted to do that, so you can destroy them. So do that in Mecca. So Allah told me, go, except those who are going to be able to go. So this makes us understand that these things are very, very fundamental when we talk about Islam. The first one is their Aqidah and their Islam. The second one is that they are mostly an Aqidah. The third one is that they are mostly ability to fight that. They are mostly ability. And the narration is that established community. So when today is Islam are not going to be able to go and fight the army. So go and fight who? Where? Where is Amir? Who is the leader and where is the strength? This is what this is important. When the people now fight to the army, when these three things are not complete, it's like nobody performing Salah without the truth. When people go to the army without Amir, they go to the army before they jihad, without Islam and Iman, you can go to jihad without ability to fight the war. It's like someone performing Salah without Iman. You don't have to Salah. You go to the work of Islam. They came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is this guy fighting jihad of Islam? What do you do? There's so and so, there's one who fights that is a fool and telling us he wants to be an Indian. The one who fights is one to tell you of Allah comes manifest. This one to fight that the caliph of Allah comes manifest over Kalima, then you have to do in the manner that he says we should do. In the conditions that he says we should follow before you say we attempt to fight the church. So Imam Ahmad is from Al-Qawaya and Al-Qawiyah. So it was just so that he had fighting the Muslims, fighting the Quran. He said, Ma ben ma'al Qumara. This is established. But with the condition that it was given to the Umara, and we have said not just that we added to other conditions that the Ulama has added, and that we continue to die on this year, on the day of the year, but that hadith of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, another reason that the jihad at the end of the year, but it was the jihad that Nabi Isa alayhi salam will conquer, not only the jihad in the front, but they are, don't forget that there are about 100,000 soldiers from Aswan that will come in from the Dajjal from among the Jews. And some of them will be revealed. These people will come and kill by them. That is also a complete of understanding that will continue to do that time. The people are from what you want to say. So they are going to follow that Amir and the Barry or the Barry. Whether the Amir is a righteous person or a righteous person. Because they are, Amir is a religious person. Because they say, I won't go to the house. Go to the house. Why is that your virtue? That's true. When you are born out of the world, don't say, oh no, it's good for Amir that all you can have your virtue. Now you are. The Amir is your duty and all you can have your virtue. He has to not be a virtue. He should not be a virtue. When am I to fall free for you? You go for the virtue. The next point, Imam Ahmad and Hamal said, you are not in faith. The distribution of the duties of war started with that. The Qasimah will say, wa iqamat al-hudud ila al-a'imma al-imamin. Laysa li ahadin an yaf'al alayhim. The sixth one is like the distribution of what we now get from non-Muslims in a battle after the battle. The distribution of that, why the farmer can produce it, and then establishing had shown some of the people to live today. This is not expected. Someone from India is not married, not making 100 schools. Someone from India is doing what is obsolete and old what we have. So, the product is hard. I didn't understand at the time. The product is hard. And so, all the result of stealing. Someone from India is product is hard. All these are what I refer to as stealing. So the establishment, the enforcement of that to be don't be done by the army. You know, we are saying that if you say, if you want to say somebody is army, you must be able to do all this thing. Why is not able to, you not able to do all this thing for your army? You not suitable to be part of the army in the language of the Sharia. If it's not army, why not say that? Because we don't understand the Sharia. The fact more who does not have that ability. In the school, you tell everybody is army. You know, it's a family school, it's an army, all these people are not have the right to be part of the they are referring to the people that are instructed from them. So we say that this must in faith, the distribution of the duties of war, who are a farmer to the community, and to enforce punishment when somebody falls away. When somebody calls spirits in the room, the later the ahadim, that it is continuously and forever it will be with the ahadim. That this is forever the duties of the ahadim. This is where some of the scholars say that it is not possible to hear that somebody has been to call and go and kill him. Somebody has been to jump to him and cut his head. It's not right. Some persons are the important authorities that will take care of what you do. Just like someone speaks to us, don't kill the person. If you kill the person, no one else will come and kill you. No one else will kill you. It will bring about the spread of the killing of the Muslims. So people take people who make, who go against the laws of the Sharia to the authorities that will establish the hand upon them. You see somebody coming to dinner with the other person, you say, you have to say, hey, I'm glad you're coming to dinner. If you are the only one, just go your way. If you are the only one, just go your way. Except if the woman is your wife. You go for the hand, how would you do that? The husband and the wife swear that if the woman denies that she's not coming to dinner, then they go for the hand. Even that's the hand, who will establish it upon them? The umara. The people who have the authority to establish that, because one of what happens after the hour is salah. The man and the woman do not go back to themselves again. Well, if it's not your wife, then just go away. Except you can look for this other person together with you, who will see salah, or who will see the salah that is the pain in the age container. You understand what I mean? So when they see it like that, you see that you have a case. But when they don't see it like that, you see you have not been able to establish anything. And people will be strong for saying that people see that when they cannot establish anything. So if you go and carry somebody, ah, no, so and so coming here. So who will be the person who will establish them? Well, take them to the authority of the mission. So if someone says, I'm Amir of the mission. They take a Muslim, I would be down, Muslim at a community, I would be down. They say, what do you need to do? So people say, like that, you must have something. Who gives you the authority to do that? That authority only lies in the hands of you and the family. This is what the man says. And they are not here. When it says, these matters, it says, Ilan Aim Matimabe. It is the right of the Aimba. It is resisting the job of the Aimba to enforce these rules of Sharia. The laysa li ahadin an yaf'ala alayhim. No one should come and say, look at the Amir, they are not enforcing the police again. Oh, look at the Amir, he was not there. Oh, look at the Amir, he did not do that something. Oh, why is this? The reason is he gave two to his family, he gave one to the rest of the people. The laysa li ahadin an regarding what you like and what you don't like in your soul. He said, it doesn't matter your mentality that you are putting that for me, it's not for you. The amir is bad to hear, it's not to you. People say, oh, this guy is married. She did not tell on the day she is married. So no brother should go there. Anyone who will hear that is telling that somebody. He said, it's not for you. That's what quality you don't have it. The only here has been that the least meetings in Salah, when you want to say it, that is the leader of Allah. But to say, Makarai was not that it is not for you. The army of the pastor, these are hadiths, and they know that we have experienced at the beginning, that the leader of the Muslims, not only who are leaders of society, who are giving our truth of the authority, itself. So he said they took that oath of allegiance to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, وَأَلَّا نُنَازِ الْأَمْرَ أَهْلَهَا. He said, وَأَلَّا نُنَازِ الْأَمْرَ أَهْلَهُ. And that we took out of allegiance to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we are not going to contest the authority in the people of authority. When he said, he did the booking of war, and we know we are, so why should we do it like that? Like those who are from your soul, Muhammad. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. He didn't need to do that. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. But if I don't fear Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will fear Allah. Not forget he has told us, Allah, the big one of the Adam, I'm the leader of all men, and I'm not proud of it. All human beings are their leader. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama say, he's telling us, why does he not tell us who he tell us? There's no one that he, after he will come and say, see that Muhammad has come, he's the leader of all human beings, so he has to tell us. So what is that? Alayhi sallam. So this makes us understand that those matters we are not going to accept. In this hadith of Ubay Ubad Abu Fahmi, the Prophet said, wa in bagaw alayna. Even when the oppressor, la munazi'a ahal al-amri, we are not going to contest with the people of authority upon their authority. We are not going to contest authority with the people of authority. When they say, is that what you want to do? Time will not be accepted if when the command is a command to do a thing or a command to do something that is possible. For example, man, you don't come out to laugh. You don't say, hey, come on, come on. There is everybody now should be doing dinner. Ah, you don't come on. Come on, come on. Is the other issue that are of Mahari. So 2 points today, inshallah. The first point is the point of that question. That he said, well, adults will involve in my immorality in the end of the hour. War, jihad, will continue until the day of Qiyamah with the leaders of the nation. And finally, and the body will fight. Whether these leaders are righteous people or they are sinful. Lalika, we are not going to abandon jihad, or we are not going to abandon the war. The second point is about them. In what it's not in faith, the distribution of the duties of war, while affirmative to duty, and then enforcing penalties, legal penalties in the Sharia, in an aim that is not. It is forever with them.